Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on this Saturday morning, on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. So today we're continuing a series we began just last week for the month of January as we start a brand new year. And it's a portrait of God that He's put on my heart as I've gone through the scriptures over the years. And it's an unusual title. I'm calling it, He is Our Empowering Rest. Kind of hard to say. Empowering? I'll get it out. Rest. Oh, my friends, we are empowered when we rest in the Lord. And it sounds like those two terms do not go together, but I'm telling you what, the Lord is always there to refresh, restore, and strengthen our souls when we are weary and heavy laden. So we're going to continue our journey. We're looking at 10 takeaways, 10 examples of this as it appears through Scripture. We've covered the first three, which I'll review in just a moment, but we're going to start today over in Psalm 23, if you have your Bibles. And as you're making your way there, just a quick reminder that at my website, markpg.org, you can get to the landing page there and click on the gray box that says Broadcasts. And in fact, there are other gray boxes that say articles, another one videos, 3-minute videos about portraits of God, another one that has printed guides on all kinds of topics from the Scripture, quick reference guides and all. But click on the one that says Broadcasts, and then when you get to that next page, click on Portraits of God, and then you'll see archived these 27-minute messages and all of these different portraits that we cover together. So that's markpg.org. Well, as we get started to take our journey together today, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, as is our custom, shall we? Lord, I love coming into Your presence. I love sitting at Your feet. I love coming with my brothers and sisters that we can just gaze in Your eyes and listen to Your heart with the ears of our hearts. And Lord, as we're looking at how You are our empowering rest, well, Lord, I pray You'll show us how we can indeed be empowered by just resting in Your presence in so many different ways. So thank You, Lord, for the privilege of coming together to sit at Your feet, to hear Your heart. Oh, thank You, Lord. We pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, we've been talking about how the Lord, according to this overarching scripture, which we're actually going to get more into today in Matthew 11:28, it says, Jesus said, come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We're living in crazy times now, aren't we? People are angry. Our culture is angry. We're at each other's throats. There's so many things going on. It's just chaotic. It's swirling out of control. It's tiring. Our emotional energy is sapped. Our spiritual energy is sapped. Wow. Weary and heavy laden seems to be the spirit of our day. Oh, my friend, though, the good news is the Lord says, come to Me, sit at My feet, all who are weary and heavy laden. And so we're looking at how when we go and rest at the feet of the Lord, it's empowering for us. So the first three takeaways, if you're a note taker, were that the Lord, our empowering rest, yearns for us to, number one, rest in His Son's salvation. Oh, my friends, the Scripture says in Hebrews 4, indeed, we have good news preached to us. We're united by faith, for we who have believed enter that rest. There's the rest that comes when we get saved. Secondly, we rest in the way that He rested. Scripture tells us in Genesis 2:2, that by the seventh day, God completed His work which He had done and rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. We discovered how God modeled that for us because He certainly did not need the rest. But you know, our muscles need rest from too much exercise. They need to have time to recover and rebuild. The ground needs to be rested so the nutrients can get back into it. You can't use that ground for your crops every year, every year, every year. So many examples. And then akin to that was number three, how we're to rest in his gift of the Sabbath. Scripture says in Exodus 20 that in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath, or the seventh day in a cycle, the Sabbath day, and made it holy. The Lord intended it to be a time of replenishment and empowering and enjoyment. The Pharisees turned it into a burden kind of day because they were policing it. What constitutes works and what doesn't. It was meant to be a snow day, you know, like when it snows and everything shuts down in town and you just stay home with the family, enjoy each other and relax. Well, that's the spirit of the Sabbath, my friend. It's a snow day to enjoy the Lord and each other and the church family. All right, well, now we come to number four, and I'm taking you over to Mark chapter 6, actually, to get started, and then we'll go to Psalm 23. But in Mark chapter 6, verse 30, Jesus said to them, he said, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while, for there were many people coming and going." Did you get that? The Lord Jesus himself. Now we have God the Son. God the Father rested on the seventh day back in the beginning of the creation of the world. But the Son here, manifested Son here on earth, was saying, hey, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. For there were many people coming and going. So my wife and I have this phrase. It's called getting peopled out. You ever get peopled out? It's just you're always with people and you're always... Yeah, I don't have to explain that. You know what I'm talking about. We get peopled out every once in a while, and we have to get away, get to a secluded place to rest a while. Jesus needed it. He was frequently getting away even from the disciples, off on a mountain, out in a boat, out in a garden, out in a field, taking a walk. He would always take the time to get away to a secluded place and rest a while. Well, seeing that he did this as a part of his lifestyle, don't you think it's important for us to do likewise? There have been some marvelous ways this has been expressed over the years that has touched my life. One of them was by an artist back, I think it was the 70s, maybe the early 80s, John Michael Talbot, who had one particular album called Come to the Quiet. And he had written some songs. He was a guitar player and singer, and he just wrote a number of songs that he compiled into this album called Come to the Quiet. Psalms that were soothing and restful and encouraging and praising the Lord and quieting the heart. I mean, it was just marvelous. And I love the name of it, Come to the Quiet. Have you noticed how noisy our culture is? We're constantly bombarded by media of all types. We can be entertained to death, distracted to death by so many different devices, so many different programs, so many different magazines and tweets and on a social. I mean, it's just on and on and on. And it's not just the physical, literal noise that bombards us from, you know, radio and songs and podcasts and the other. I mean, constantly bombarded in the noise of this world. But the noise of the heart and the noise of a spirit of constant busyness and debate and disagreement and vindictive talk and us. It's just... So I get reminded by the Lord, drawn by his spirit, to come to the quiet. Be still and know that I am God. In fact, to be honest with you, you know, I typically, when I'm driving around town for various reasons, I typically have something on, usually music I'm listening to, or some newscast or podcast. But of recent months, I've been diminishing that more and more because I've come to enjoy the quiet more and more, to commune spirit to spirit with the Lord. It's a call to a secluded place, a call to solitude with the Lord in the quiet by His Spirit, to listen for His whispers. You know, whispers cannot be heard if there's constant noise. And that constant noise is all around us in this culture, as we've been saying, literal noise, and then emotionally charged noise with all the disagreements we'll be talking about. But then internally, the struggles we have internal, there's noise inside. And the noise inside of us, and the angst and the worry and the frustration and the anger, that anger and tumultuous spirit within us that has unresolved issues and things going on, and the noise of our culture and of everyday lives and activities and responsibilities, it's hard to hear the whispers of God. And that's why He says, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. So number four, by the way, if you're a note taker, we've been saying we're to rest in His Son's salvation. That's number one. Number two, we're to rest in the way that He rested. That's number two. Number three was rest in His gift of the Sabbath. And now we're saying rest in seclusion with Him. Now, to be in seclusion with the Lord is to be in solitude with the Lord. Now, that's different than isolation. In the way that I want to use these terms anyway. Isolation versus solitude. Isolation is when we say, you know what, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of people. I'm tired of God. I'm tired of the God thing. I'm just going to go away and do myself. I'm just going to hunker down, do whatever, escape, fight or flight. You've heard that. Well, this is a flight. I'm getting away from it all. I don't want to be with anybody. I don't want to do anything. I'm done. I'm toast. That's it. Now, that's isolation. And you have to gut it up to go out and be with people again. And in that isolation, your spirit is just churning within you, and it becomes internally toxic. We're trying to be self-protected, but we're the last people that can protect ourselves. We don't know ourselves that way. So when we just shut down, when we just bury our head in the sand, when we just go away in isolation and we don't want to pray or read or talk or listen to encouraging stuff or anything, that's isolation. That's not good. What is good is solitude. Solitude is when we go by ourselves regarding other people, but we're not alone. Solitude is when you go to be with the Lord. You and the Lord by His Spirit. Let me take you to Psalm 23. You know this, the Lord is my shepherd. And I just love that metaphor, by the way, the shepherd, overseer, tender, holding us close, gently talking to us, stroking us, type of thing. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not be in need, or I shall not want. He lets me or makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Now, I know you're very familiar with this passage. It's used a lot in funerals, memorial services. But in this context of this call to rest, how the Lord is our empowering rest, it says right there, He makes me lie down in green pastures. I used to not like that makes me translation, but you know what? Think about this. One preacher put it this way, decades ago when I first heard it, and it's stuck with me ever since. Just can't remember who said it. May have been Chuck Swindoll. But here's the phrase. As humans are the only species on the planet that when we get lost, we run faster. Isn't that stunning? We do. We get frenzied and start running, trying to find our way out of the woods, trying to, all that, no. We're like a drowning victim who's flailing about, and the lifeguard comes to save us, and we end up fighting him. No. And he or she has to say, okay, lay down in the water. Here, I got you. Lay down. He makes us, or she makes us, lie down on our backs in the water while they prop us up and they swim us back. Relax. Shh, 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 shh. Just lay back. Lay back. Stop. Stop. He makes us lie down in green pastures. Lifeguard makes us lie down in still waters. The Lord leads us beside quiet waters because we have a tendency to run faster, to get frantic, to flail about, to resist the rescue. Oh, don't, my friends. Listen for the whispers of God to say, shh, 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 shh. It's okay. It's okay. Shh. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Shh. Relax. Relax. I got you. I got you. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Oh, I love that. Absolutely love that. Let me take you to another psalm that also gives us a beautiful picture of this act of resting in seclusion, letting him make us lie down and rest. Psalm 131. Listen to this. Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes arrogant, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Lord, I have certainly soothed and quieted my soul like a weaned child resting against his mother. My soul within me is like a weaned child. Let me share with you when this passage became so real and so rescuing for me in my life. About, I guess, 10 years ago now, I was pastoring a local church. It started off as a replant, really, 24 people, no land, no building, back in 1990. And we had a wonderful, wonderful time in the Lord, growing that church. Within 3 years, we had our first property. We bought our first property, built our first building. This is starting with 24 people. 3 years later, we have this wonderful, beautiful worship center and a master plan community. It was amazing how God did that. That's a whole other story. And then we began our journey for 23 years. I would pastor there until about 10 years ago. And it was at that time when the Lord said, it's time to move on. And that's another story I'll tell you another time. But when I knew it was time to move on. But it was one of those Abrahamic kinds of callings where God said, okay, now I want you to leave where you are. In Abraham's case, familiar family, his country, everything he knew, head out that direction, but destination will be named later. What? He was sending him out into the desert. Well, where are we going? I'll tell you later. Just start going. Well, that's what he said to me. It was time to pass the baton and at the church that I had been serving for 23 years, and he says, time to move on. Lord, where are you going to take me? I'll tell you later. So, so for 3 months, didn't know where he was going to take me. But what happened was, I mentioned to my predecessor here at this position, I oversee our Southern Baptist churches here in this area as a consultant and an encourager and all to them. And we have 107 churches and stuff, and I was in one of them. But the Lord, I called my predecessor and just mentioned, hey, just want to let you know, give you a heads up. The Lord's calling me to step away from the church I've been pastoring and for 23 years. And we were really good friends, as was his assistant. Because I started here, I'm officed here at the very beginning in 1990 when our little 24 group of people of 24 were meeting in here. We have a meeting area and stuff. But it was within 3 years we got that, our own place and our own building. And anyway, I told him about it. He said, well, where are you going? He said, well, I don't know yet. He just said it's time to go. Like Abraham. Oh, well, yeah, I get that. I said, hey, well, listen, if you want to come hang around your old office, we're just using it as storage now, but you can just, you know, hang out there till God tells you what he wants you to do. This was my time to have solitude with the Lord, kind of like the upper room. When Jesus died and these disciples were in the upper room, waiting upon the Lord, just getting perspective, getting their breath, thinking about the future, yes, even worrying some about the future, and then he shows up. Well, this was my upper room experience, my friends. And within the first week, the Lord had taken me through where we're going through the Psalms and my time with him. And I came to this Psalm 131, where it says, you know, I have certainly soothed and quieted my soul like a weaned child resting against his mother. My soul within me is like a weaned child. And I thought to myself, oh man, I tell you what, these nursing children, that's such a beautiful picture. I started reading on, and the Lord by his Spirit said, no, wait a minute, back up. It's not a nursing child, it's a weaned child. Big difference. Why? Well, a nursing child is there with its mother because it needs the milk, and the mother's giving it milk. That's a beautiful picture indeed. But a weaned child, why do weaned child then rest against his mother? It's no longer for the milk. And the Lord said, son, why would you think a child would do that and a mother would do that with her child when there's no milk to be given anymore? Lord, I guess it's because they just love each other. He said, that's right. I want you just to press into me during this time until I give you the destination for your next ministry. And there are actually four P's: press into me, please only me, plant seeds, because I said, well, Lord, how are people going to know that, you know, I'm available, you know? Well, you can plant seeds, but the number four was, but pressure no one. So let me say that again. The Lord is saying, press into me, please only me, plant seeds, but pressure no one. And you know, I just began to meditate upon this and walk in that way all this time. And 3 months later, in fact, the very day my last paycheck was coming from my former church, they had graciously said, hey, we'll pay you for 3 extra months. The day that that came, my predecessor, who was in one office in our facility here, came to my office and said, do you got a few minutes? I want to talk with you. Can you come to my office? I said, sure. So I came and sat down, and he said, look, I've been wanting to retire for a couple of years, but I've not seen anyone on the horizon that I sensed God wanted to raise up to take this work to the next level until you called. And I've been thinking about it for months. And he didn't know this was my last paycheck day, by the way. The Lord just spoke to him that this was the day. Would you be interested in this position? I said, wow, actually, I was hoping for that, but I wasn't going to ever say anything about that. The Lord had me resting in seclusion with him in solitude, pressing to me, please only me, plant seeds, pressure no one. I said, I would love to pursue that, but we need to do it by the book, man. I mean, I don't want to come into the back door or the side door. We need to put out a full call and notices out. Let people send in their resumes. Mine will just be one of them. If God is in it, then it'll rise to the top. And if not, that's fine too. He said, yeah, no, I totally agree. Let's do that. And to make a longer story short, that is what God did. They went through the process. They even made me leave the building when they were having their personnel team meetings to consider all the resumes, including mine, because they didn't want to have anyone think that I had an undue advantage. And God raised it up. My friend, you may be going through a time when God has said, this is the direction I want you to go, destination to be named later. If that is so, I rejoice with you. It's a time for faith building. It's a time for resting in seclusion with him. It's a time to be in the upper room in solitude, not isolation and worry and all that. He will provide. He will guide. Press into me. Please only me. Plant seeds. Pressure no one. And the Lord will come through. That's what he does best. And what he's doing is he's creating a greater and greater sense of dependency upon him and his ways and his timing. Because when we want to go with our ways and with our timing, we usually rush it. Remember what I said earlier. Human beings are the only species that when we get lost, we run faster. Have you been running faster in your life in a time of uncertainty, my friends? Have you been getting frenetic in your pace, in your heart, in your life, because you don't know what the next destination is yet. You may even feel like you're wandering in the wilderness. Sometimes we lose our way in the wilderness, but that's when he makes us lie down in green pastures, and he leads us beside quiet waters. He says, shh, 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 it's okay, it's okay. Lie down, lie down. I got you. I got this. Oh, my friend, learn how to come to the quiet. Learn how to lie down in green pastures. Learn how to let the Lord lead you beside quiet waters. Cultivate the art of being still to know that He's the Lord. And the amazing thing is, it will empower you. It will not weaken you. What weakens us is operating on fumes, pushing ahead, white knuckling our way through life, trying to figure it out, trying to push an agenda, try to manipulate circumstances. No, 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 no. Trust the Lord. Come to the quiet. Lie down in that green pasture. Let Him lead you beside quiet waters. Listen for His whispers as you rest in seclusion with Him. Well, Lord, we thank You for this call to the quiet and to rest and to be empowered by You as only You can do. Thank You for the invitation every day, every moment to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Oh, check out my website at markpg.org for more. Until next time, oh, fall in love with the Lord, Your empowering rest.